We are in The Prodigal Son, Part 4, and that's found in the Word of God in the book of Luke, chapter 15. It starts at verse 11, goes all the way to the end of that chapter, Luke chapter 15. But this is Part 4 of The Prodigal Son. It's taken us 3 lessons to get this far. We should finish it off today. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints of the marrow. It is a critical thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, fully furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, which is the word of God, the Bible. Prior to our Bible study, we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer to give all of us the opportunity to use the rebound technique. That is in your book, Christian Doctrines. We covered it in the last Bible lesson. And this simply is a grace mechanism for you to be filled with God, the Holy Spirit, because you're eternally saved when you believe in Christ, but you still sin. Every time you commit a sin, the first sin you commit after you're a believer, you go in the cosmic system, which is a system of thinking that's under the authority of His Majesty, the devil. And this is a vast system. It contains sin. It contains human good. All sorts of things that are in opposition to God and His Word. So how do you get back into this fellowship relationship with God, the Holy Spirit? You simply name a known sin. Think of a sin that you've done and name that sin. Sins come in 3 categories, as we've seen with the prodigal son already. You've got middle attitude sins, you've got sins of the tongue, and then you've got the overt sins. So if we judged ourselves, we would not be judged, because if you refuse to rebound, you're in for divine discipline, which is a point we see in the prodigal son as well. Don't want that. You could never lose your salvation, but why be a loser? Why not obey your Creator, move up the ladder to spiritual maturity, have a wonderful life and time, and fantastic eternal rewards in eternity beyond your imagination? So let's take that opportunity if we need to rebound and use the rebound technique. You are a royal priest. You represent yourself before God. You name your known sins. Look up 1 John 1:9 again. Look up the doctrine of rebound. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for the privilege of gathering here to study your holy word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us by these things in Christ's name. Amen. So we left off when the prodigal son has come home. We've seen many teaching points already. Prodigal son wanted to divide up the wealth with the father. He's the second son, so he didn't get the majority of the wealth, but he got a pretty good chunk of it. And we noted last time that he had a sin, obviously, towards partying. The fancy word would be antinomianism. He likes to drink and carouse and cuss and all those things people think of when they think of partying. He's very self-indulgent. His older brother, however, has a trend in his old sin nature, not towards partying, but towards legalism, self-righteousness. We all have an old sin nature. We all have trends. But these two sons represent the yin and the yang, on one side and the other side. And they're pretty extreme, because the younger son, he's been raised by a father who taught him all sorts of Bible doctrine, all sorts of things. The father here in this parable represents God the Father. We represent the children. We're believers, and all believers have different old sin natures. So as we go forward in the parable, as we've already covered, the young son wants the money now. He doesn't want to wait on God's timing. He wants it now. And that's the problem with many believers. They identify something they want it now. But they don't realize that God's timing is perfect. Your timing sucketh, as they say in the King James Version. So therefore, wait on the Lord. The Lord wants to bless you far more than you even want to bless you. He wants to make you happy, and He knows what will make you happy. And so therefore, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's how you please Him. You just wait on the Lord. He will give you these things. And God can't lie. We can lie, and we cannot wait on the Lord. And that's this younger son. He don't want to wait. He wants it now. And so God, of course, allows our volition to work. And the father divided up the wealth and said, here's your big bag of silver and gold. Kid ran off, wasted it on wild living. And that's very true. That's exactly how he wasted it. So he did self-induced misery on his own self. God didn't even have to do divine suffering. He just watched the kid do it to himself. But then God chipped in. And we saw in the passage that he created, he caused a famine to come across the land. So everybody's suffering. And now the prodigal son, well, he's in a very desperate shape. And the only job he can get is feeding slop to pigs. And then he rebounds. We studied that. It says he came to his senses. He hit rock bottom so hard, almost dead. And he came to his senses and he said, wait a minute. My father treats his hired hands very well. Why don't I just go home, you think? And that's what he does. Now, the son, the prodigal son, the younger son, had some level of Bible doctrine in his soul. Had to. He's a believer in the family. He's been taught by his parents Bible doctrine. He has it there. He just ignored it. And believers can do that. He fell off the wagon of Bible doctrine. Something got him. And Satan, of course, is a time stealer. He wants to steal your time. You only have so much time on the game clock of your life. And whatever you think is important, forget about it. It's not important. Unless you're thinking Bible doctrine, then you're right. You got the prize. All the other things are details. They're entertainment. We get great pleasure out of work and the work ethic and different things and friends and stuff. And those are all legitimate things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, Bible doctrine, as the Lord said, and I'll give you all these things. I know you want them, and I want to give them to you. But see, the irony is, if you don't have Bible doctrine, you get the things, you're miserable. It doesn't make you happy. It just doesn't. The horse has to be put in front of the wagon, not behind the wagon. Horse can't pull the wagon if it's behind it. Got to put the horse in front. What's the horse Bible doctrine? What's the wagon? Stuff you want. And God will load up your wagon beyond your imagination. If you wait on the Lord. If you don't wait on the Lord, no, you're going to have problems. But the Lord's always there. And we saw the prodigal son when the kids started to come home. The father ran out to greet him. We looked at the word. He kissed him over and over and over again. He gave him all the, he put him right back in the status where he had been before. That's like rebound. Once you rebound, you don't have to crawl over coals or say, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. You just name and send, you're back in. And you're, all the privileges available are once again available to you. You just got to start studying Bible doctrine again. Now we noted also, this is review, that the son said something stupid to his father. Oh, I don't deserve this father, etc., etc. He's not applying Bible doctrine. And how could he? He hasn't studied Bible doctrine for a very long time. So he's forgotten all those biblical principles lodged in his soul. And so he says something stupid. And the parable records that. Now this parable actually should be called the prodigal sons, plural, not the prodigal son. Because now we're going to turn to the older brother and look at his problems and then close this parable out. So we'll pick it up at verse 26. And so, we'll pick up verse 25. Now his older son, was in the field when he came and approached the house. He heard music and dancing, and he summoned one of his servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, and because he has received him back, because he has received it back, safe and sound. And he was safe and sound. He's alive. He's safe. He's sound. He's ready again to study Bible doctrine. Again, the analogy is a believer. You rebound. You're now safe. You're sound. You're back in God's directive will for your life. And that is for you to grow up. And he's there. And so now we turn to the older brother. Younger son, you know, we're done with him. Parable now switches over to him. And it says, but he became angry, orge, very angry, and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. So the older brother is not going into the house. He will have nothing to do with it. He hears the partying. He knows that the fatted calf has been killed. And there's great joy in the household. And he refuses to go into the house. So the father, God here, goes out to him. What does that mean? Remember, parables have the standard normal meaning that all people can understand, but then it has the biblical meaning, which only believers that have Bible doctrine can understand. God will do everything compatible with his essence to get you to turn your volition from negative to positive, from a person that doesn't want to study the Word of God to a person that loves the Word of God, but he will not force you to do it. And so the Father comes out to him. God's desire, remember we studied this many, many times, there are two directive wills in the Bible that God says, these are two things I want to happen vis-a-vis humans. One, I want all humans to be saved, and to prove it, my son died on the cross, unlimited atonement. Equal opportunity for every human to be saved. I've proven that that is my directive will. And number two, I want all believers, us, to reach maturity. And to prove that, I put your rewards in a bank account before the foundation of the world. We studied that under the Doctrine of Rewards. It's all there. It's not like, oh, well, if you get it, I'll give it. No, it's already there. All you got to do is fulfill the conditions to get the money out. It's like a will. Aunt Sally leaves you $5, $15 million. But in the will, Aunt Sally says, you don't get it unless you complete 2 years of a master's program and another 3 years of a doctorate program. Well, that's a lot of work. $15 million is a lot of do-re-mi. But if you don't do it, Aunt Lucy says, then all the money will go to my cats or whatever it is. So yes, it's there. It's yours. But you've got to fulfill the conditions of the escrow to get it out. So for us as believers, God's poured all these rewards into a bank account, an escrow account. Rewards in time, rewards in eternity. He wants to give them to you. In fact, that's how you glorify God. Remember the parable of the tree. You glorify God by producing fruit on the tree. And believers produce different levels of fruit. So that's the directive will of God. So God will go out, but he's not going to force the kid to come in. He doesn't grab the kid and says, you're coming in. He doesn't give him a direct order. I'm your dad. You will come in. Doesn't do that at all. He pleads with him. And that word is parakaleo, which means to call to one side. Parakaleo, to call to one side. And that's what he's doing. He says, look, let's walk. Walk with me. Let me talk to you. Let me explain to you. And then he gives him an explanation. So let's read the explanation here. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered, this is the older son, the other prodigal son, and said to his father, Pater, look, for so many years I've been serving you, and I've never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. And then we have the word serving you is actually doulos. It means I've been a slave to you, Dad. Now this kid also is obviously committing a sin. What's the sin? Well, arrogance for one, right on the top. He's arrogant. And notice what he calls. He doesn't call him his brother. He says it's the son. He says, you have a son, and you've never done it to me. For many years I've been serving you, and I've never neglected the command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came and has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. The fatted calf actually means you sacrificed it. So he calls him the son of yours. It's your brother. So he's very arrogant. That's the sin, arrogance. Boom, he's out of fellowship. Very clear, he's a son. He's addressing his father, Pater. That's God, that's you. And he's out. And he's been out of fellowship for quite some time. Apparently, he was very upset when the younger son took all the money and ran off. And he says, well, you know, that money probably should have been mine or whoever, whatever he's thinking, we don't know. He's probably very bitter that the dad had given the kid money, because you're not supposed to really get the money until the dad passes away. But the kid demanded it now. So the father gave it to him. So this bitterness has been in this older son for quite some time. Because as soon as he got word about his brother coming back, he didn't ponder it. He was immediately angry and upset, bitter. Arrogance. Arrogance is the pin in the grenade for many, many sins. Many, many sins. What is arrogance? Well, it's insensitivity towards other humans and hypersensitivity about yourself. Everything's about you. You don't give a damn about anybody else. So also, when you're in this state of reversionism, because that's what he's in, his brother was in reversionism, now he's in reversionism. And he's saying, he's lying. You can see this is a lie. Anybody knows by common sense this is a lie. He says, I've never neglected a command of yours, verse 29. That's not true. There's nobody that is perfect. He has neglected commands, but he's doing the poor old me. He says, I've been your slave. He wasn't his slave. He's his son. They have slaves on the plantation, and they have hired people on the plantation. We've seen that before, but he's neither. He's a son. And so he's very arrogant. He's very bitter. And it's all about me. Woe is me. I've been doing this all these years. And what do I got? Well, what do you have? You've had everything. You just couldn't appreciate it because of the sin of self-righteousness and arrogance that has been eating you alive. How do we know that? Because we read on. But he's accurate when he says, verse 30, you know, the younger son, yeah, the trend of his sin nature is partying. That's not the trend of the older brother's sin nature. He wouldn't dare think about partying. It doesn't interest him. His sin is self-righteousness. I'm better than everybody else. And I let them know it, that I'm better than everybody else. And so I'm going to suffer. Woe is me. Do all this work. Kind of like Ihor. If you ever watched those cartoons, Winnie the Pooh, there's a donkey there called Ihor. And always just, oh, woe is me. Everything's this, that, and the other thing. No, it's not. So anyway, verse 31. And he said to him, this is the father's answer when he said, the son of yours devoured your wealth with prostitutes. You killed the fattened calf for him. In other words, you should have made this son suffer. He's destroyed everything. And he's right back where he was before. He should be out there working in the field and groveling and doing all these things. But that's not how God works. It's grace. You name your sin, you're back in. You're right back where you started in terms of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's true that you've neglected your spiritual life. So that relative side of your spiritual life is the growth. Yet you've gone back down that ladder. The rate of forgetting has exceeded the rate of learning. You got to relearn a lot of Bible doctrine, which the young son, hopefully, that's what he did. And so this individual, the older son, he's in the same position. He's gone down the ladder in his relative side of his spiritual life. And the father, verse 31, and he said to him, son, makes it very clear, you are my son. You're not a slave. You're my son. You have always been with me. And all that is mine is yours, which is very true. It's true for us. We're in union with Christ. Everything that he has is ours. And we're in. And we'll always be a child of God. We're a son of God. And that goes for the ladies as well. You can't get out. Everything that the father has is yours. But see, if you don't have Bible doctrine like the older son, you can't enjoy it. He should have been thrilled to be working on that plantation. And you get great satisfaction in working the ranch or whatever you want to call it. It's a wonderful thing to do these things. He has a father that loves him, and he's lying about that you never gave me a fatted calf. Yeah, that's not true. Not true at all. He's had many parties, many opportunities. This is not a father that would hold back from one child. This is a father that loves both children equally, doesn't show favoritism whatsoever. It's God. God is absolutely perfect, absolutely fair in the parable. This is God. That's the spiritual being. It's a lie. It's an absolute lie. But see, that's what arrogant people do. They're never satisfied. They're never happy. Whatever you give them, they have no capacity to enjoy it. And the prodigal son, part two, the older brother, no capacity. He has all these things. And the father is telling you, very true. You've been with me, always. And everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, verse 32. Notice he says, we. You're my son. You should be celebrating with me that your brother has come back. He's come back from the dead. That word is nekros, not literal death, but he's in temporal death and operational death. Look up the doctrine of death in your book, Christian Doctrines. Temporal death, for the Bible, is when you sin. You're out of fellowship. Temporal death. You can remedy that very quickly by rebounding. Operational death is when you're out of fellowship, you're in the bottom circle, and you're out in the cosmic system when you sin, but you stay there so long, you go into operational death. That's when Bible doctrine starts to slip right out of your brain. And you make very bad decisions like the younger son did. Older son's doing the same thing. His trend towards legalism and arrogance, because most legalists are very arrogant people. Very arrogant people. But we had to celebrate. We had to celebrate and rejoice for this brother of yours. He makes it very clear. This is your brother. Remember the older brother said, this son of yours. Dad, this is your brother. This brother of yours was dead, nekros, and he began to live and was lost and has been found. And that's very true. He was lost. He's found. He's back in the bottom circle. which is fellowship with God the Holy Spirit, and hopefully he is now starting to learn Bible doctrine and move up the ladder in his spiritual life to regain the things that he's lost and to move into new territory. And so as the parable starts, the one son's out of fellowship in the Tulies. As the parable ends, the other son's out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit and in the Tulies. How will it end? How will it end? And it's exactly as you want it to end, because that's you. That's me. How will it end? You choose. And so the good decision is we rebound and we keep moving. We keep moving up the ladder on a relative side of our spiritual life. We learn Bible doctrine. We develop the capacity to enjoy this life in a marvelous way. And in fact, if you're enjoying your life right now and you have Bible doctrine in your soul, that's a guarantee that you're going to have eternal rewards given to you at the judgment seat of Christ. So you can look around, you can say, well, I don't have much, but I sure enjoy the stuff I've got. I really get great satisfaction. I study Bible doctrine, and I know the Lord has given me these things, and I'm not bitter at all. I'm not arrogant. I see somebody with this, don't mean anything to me. I'm satisfied with the things that I have. And that is, of course, in the blessings that you have in this life, there's actually two categories. So two main categories, the blessings you have in life, the blessings you'll have in eternity. But the blessings in life, we can actually split those into two. There's two categories of temporal blessings, mortal blessings in this body. One is spiritual blessings, and two is the physical blessings. And of course, the physical blessings, we can check that list off real quick. Friends, money, I don't know if you like property, a lot of land, nice house, nice car, a spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, good health, all these things, we can tick them all off. But see, that's not the most important blessings in time for you. It's the spiritual blessings. And that is called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is your growing in Bible doctrine. Because you get the spiritual blessings by understanding the mind of Christ. And then that's called the fruit of the Spirit, which you can list off a lot of problem-solving devices. You have a personal sense of destiny, which is a problem-solving device. You know exactly why you're here in the angelic conflict. That's a wonderful thing to know exactly why you're here. Many people, why am I here? Why am I here? What is it all about? Well, we know exactly why we're here. What's it all about? We're participants in the angelic conflict. And that is a spiritual blessing. You have a personal sense of destiny. You have a grace orientation to life. Live and let live. Another human does that. Oh, well, have a nice day. Grace orientation to life. You treat people as Christ treats you, which is a far cry from the golden rule. This is one of the commands, of course, one of the laws for the Christian way of life. So, in short, you have these spiritual blessings that you achieve through studying Bible doctrine. And therefore, when you have that, you can enjoy anything. As Paul said, I enjoy when I was rich. I enjoy when I'm poor. I enjoy when I have a lot of clothes. I enjoy when I don't have clothes. I enjoy the job. I enjoy when I don't have a job. Because he has the spiritual blessings. And with those, you understand that these things in the physical world are nice to have, but that doesn't make you happy. What makes you happy is Bible doctrine. That's the fuel that your soul has to run on. So it's much more important to get the spiritual blessings, and then you can enjoy the physical blessings. And we saw with many believers in the past, illustrations, Solomon had all the physical blessings. For a while he enjoyed them because he had spiritual blessings. Then he didn't rebound. He went into operational death like the prodigal son, and the physical blessings made him miserable, and he told us all about it in the book of Ecclesiastes. Whoa, whoa, everything's miserable. Life sucks. I want to kill myself. That's how modern kids say it today. Yeah, what? You've got everything, yet you have nothing because he stopped Bible doctrine. Same with the true prodigal sons. So the father in this parable obviously is God the Father. The two sons are believers. The believers, of course, are us. And we go on these far journeys ourselves all the time. Just don't make it a long journey. Prodigal son made it a long journey. And the other son made it a long journey. Do a short journey. Rebound quickly. Get back with the Word of God and move forward. With our head bowed, our eyes closed. Father, we thank you for the privilege of revealing this information, this parable to us and making it understandable so we can also relate to it in our own spiritual life. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us by these wonderful, marvelous concepts that you have given us to turn over in our brain as we go in our own life on this journey. Challenge us, come out to us, paro kaleo us at all times, call us to your side, remind us of these things, give us the divine discipline if we need it, so that we may move forward in your plan, where that discipline is converted to suffering for blessing, so we can glorify you by reaching spiritual maturity, holding the high ground, and not retreating. In Christ's name, amen.